What a song to believe. Amen. This is just what I want to speak on today. You just keep that in mind. He's more than enough for what we have need of today. Amen. Isn't it good just to, I say it all the time, isn't it good to be a Christian? I tell you, where would we be? Where would we be if it wasn't for the love of God? My. Let's pray. Let's just change the service now, the order of the service. Let God come now and speak to us. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, we can come here. Father, our words can't express what it means, Father, from our heart, Lord, to try to understand and realize where you have placed us today, where we are this morning, Lord, just to be able to come to a church like this and recognize that there's a difference between churches. There's a difference between believers, and some people, they have called to a certain amount, but Lord, you called us all the way to be bride, Lord, and to recognize where we are this morning, Lord. We don't have words to express, Lord, what it means, because sometimes our mind just doesn't comprehend it because it's such an amazing thing. But Father, Lord, we're just counting on you. We're depending on you now this morning to come and just open yourself to us a little bit more and show us, Lord, what you would have us to see this morning. Lord, I pray you would reveal it, Lord. Don't let it just be a doctrine. Don't let it just be something we know in our minds. But, Father, the revelation that's sinking down into our soul and producing Christ today. We expect this, Lord Jesus. In your name I ask it. Amen. I want to read out of Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. I'm going to speak on the thought of our position in Christ. I have several messages on this, I believe. My brother Jerry is gone, and You've heard preached on your position in Christ so many times over the years, and yet it just constantly comes back up because it is so crucial, especially in today's world where we're at, to recognize where we are and what's going on around us. So Philippians 2 and the 5th chapter, it says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." So what he's saying is have the same thought process, think the way Jesus thought. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God. It wasn't something, I'm God, I'm going to stay like that. I want to be equal with God. I want to hold on to my position here in heaven. I don't want to go down to earth and do all those things that has to be done. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Look at the humility, God, his own humility. He said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given a name which is above every name. You can have a seat if you would like. He said, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And so what he did is, as Jesus grew, he came to realize his purpose in life. He came to realize who he was. He came to realize what scripture he is supposed to fulfill. And he humbled himself to that purpose. He humbled himself to that position, and even if it meant going to the cross, he still said, well, this is my purpose in life. I am going to humble myself to the will of God because my love, the love of God in him. And he said, you know what, I will go to the cross. I will do what God has called me to do, even if I don't really want to do this. And he really did not want to do this. He went to Gethsemane to get to the point where he could die enough to that human desire so that he would go to Calvary because he didn't want to do it. And friends, what we have to do is come to the same point, every one of us. If you're in the bride, you have to come to the point where you humble yourself to fulfill the role that God has called you to fulfill. And it's going to be humbling. It's not what a lot of us want. Because we want, you know, well, I want to be this kind of Christian. I want to have this position. I want to do this. I want to do that. And he sometimes just don't do that. He just gives you something else to do. He said, now, will you humble yourself? Will you go to your own personal Calvary? Will you go through the trials that I have called you to go through? Will you be in your position even when you don't want to? Brother Jerry had to come down here and take a position as pastor, and there's been many times when he had to go through some real hard things, and if he did not know this was his position, he would have left, and so would you and I. We would have left because I said, I don't want to put up with this anymore. But we know our position, and if you don't know your position, friends, when the storm comes, you're going to leave. It's going to blow you right away. You're building on sand instead of on a rock of revelation. So we must know our position in order to stand firm in this age. And brother and sister, I can tell you, the bride here, as we go, if you are around here for the rapture and you don't go by the way of the grave, by the time we get that body change, I can tell you, you're going to know what it is to stand on the word, because everyone else will be gone. Brother Branham says this: how many Christians are here? Raise up your hand. All the believers, raise up your hand everywhere. Well, everyone here would raise your hand, right? Thank you. Oh, I suppose that's wonderful. 100% looks like. Now, if you're a believer, then he pauses. He says, I believe that I know what the greatest curse that's on the church today. The greatest curse that's on the church today. It's not knowing what they are. Remember, he said different times something like this. He said, when the bride knows who she is, then the rapture goes. And so we know we're bride, but there's so much more to it than just a head knowledge. Well, I'm bride, I believe her. It's coming to that place, your position, when you recognize your position in Christ. And this is how you know who you really are. And you have to grow into this, because he don't give it all at once. It's just like you don't give your car keys to your five-year-old kid, because they're not ready to handle it. But as we grow in Christ, and how do we grow? We grow by going through the trials and the temptations and all the battles. That character that's being grown. Remember, character is a victory. It's not a gift. When you got born again, he did not give you character. He gave you the life to go through the trials to form that character, to mold that character. And so as we grow in Christ, the more mature we get, he reveals more to us. This is what I've called you for. This is your job. This is your role. This is your position in Christ. This is what I want you to manifest. And we have to get there, friends. Why is the rapture not gone yet? Probably part reason is because we still don't recognize who we are. It's not knowing what we are, what we're called to do. So we must come to that place in Christ to recognize this is my position in Christ. This is where he has placed me, and I have to be here in order to go into rapture. So if anyone's holding back, whatever we're holding back, whatever they're struggling with, go ahead and get rid of that stuff. Get past it. Quit going through the same trial over and over and over and over and over. Go ahead and take the right attitude, which is the attitude of Christ, who went ahead and found himself in the fashion of a man. You all find yourself in the fashion of this flesh, this fallen nature. We find ourselves there. Then go ahead and humble yourself and go to the Calvary that it takes to get rid of all our own nature, because we're still trying to hold on to things so much that it doesn't allow us to grow and to manifest what God wants us to manifest. It's all about growing up. Brother Bram says, little babies, I got a little one back there, just learned to walk. He'd boom and fall down, get back up. He thought he was doing something great. I was that way one day, but now I'm a man. I put away childish things. So what's he saying? Learn how to walk. Learn how to walk. Quit stumbling over the same thing over and over. Go ahead and die to yourself. Surrender whatever has to be done and get over with so you can go on and grow into a man. Put away these childish things. And the number one childish things that we have to put away is being influenced and controlled by our emotions. Boy, that hurts. I don't know about you, but that gets to me, because so many times my emotions, I'm gonna get mad at this, I'm gonna tore up about this, I'm gonna worry about this, I'm gonna doubt about this, I'm gonna have my little addictions here, my big addictions, whatever here, and all it is being controlled by our emotions instead of growing up and humbling ourselves to, hey, find yourself, recognize you are in the fashion as a human being in this fallen nature, and your own nature is your biggest enemy that's keeping you from growing. So go ahead and get over that own nature, but it hurts. But I want this and I want that. Yeah, and that's what these little kids around here say all the time. Mommy, I want. Wah, I don't get what I want. And life becomes unbearable because that little three-year-old kid didn't get the toy he wanted to play with. And we got to say, look at that little kid. Life is unbearable. Everything just falls apart because someone took their toy. And then look the way we act when someone takes our toys. I don't want people to say that about me. I don't want people to think that about me. I don't want this and I don't want that. Wah, wah, wah. I think I'm going to sit down and listen to this, because this is getting all over me. He said, we got to come to full doctrine. I like good old-fashioned old shouting meetings where we just clap our hands, we shout, have a good time, have a great powerful services and things. Dance on the bubble, as it were. But wait. Then when the showdown time comes, you don't know where you're standing. Let's get back and find out. Let's find out what's making us do that. Let's get back to the foundation, see where we're at. So Brother Bram's talking about this. It's great to have these wonderful services. It's great to have the Spirit come and we dance and we shout and we sing and just the atmosphere here, and someone's screaming over here, someone's dancing over here, someone's shouting. It's a wonderful atmosphere. But if that's what your religion is based on, you have no foundation. That is not a foundation. You have to be based on the foundation of that revelation that God has revealed to you exactly who you are. And until you get that right, that centered and rock, that foundation, then you can be moved all over by the winds of doctrine and everything else. This spirit comes along and moves you this way. That moves you this way. Father, friends, we have to be completely anchored, solid, know who we are. Let's read out of 2 Peter. Yeah, 2 Peter, I think it's 1st, yeah, 2 Peter 1 and 10. 2 Peter 1 and 10. It says this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It means that when you do make your mistakes, you're going to repent and get back up and keep there. You're not going to fall away and walk out of here and say, well, I just can't live this. I just can't do this. It's not going to happen because you know you're calling an election assured. Now, here's what Satan wants you to do. How do you make a call and election assured? Satan wants to say, well, you better live good enough so you know who you are. You better prove who you are. You better do this. You better do that. That is not what it's talking about because you cannot call yourself. You can't call yourself, and you cannot elect yourself. All you're doing is allowing God to reveal it, and when God reveals that, hey, I have called you to this message, I've called you to be bride, I have elected you to this, and you make sure that you are standing on that revelation of God told you who you are, and Satan cannot move you off of that because you know who you are. You've been elected to this. Make sure it's solid. Make sure your religion is not based on because you get emotional or because you get anointed, because you're gifted to do whatever. Make sure it's nothing on that, but it's simply on the revelation that God has showed you who you are. Make sure that your election is sure. You can't go, well, I'm going to try and get elected. We are not running a campaign. This is not a campaign to see if I can get God to elect me. If I was elected, I was always elected. I was elected before the foundation of the world, before God, anyone ever thought of me, before thousands of years, before time ever began. I was already elect because I was already a child of God. And all I do in this age is recognize, oh, I've been elected. I was given this grace. It's the grace of God. It wasn't something I worked up. It wasn't because I was spiritual. It's because God chose me from way back there. And that's why he came, is so that I could fulfill my job as being elect. That's how you make sure your election, your calling and election is sure. That's why Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. That word is the same. It's elected. Very few are elected. Why? Because many are called, many are going to be saved. But there's only a little limited amount of people who are actually elected. When God shows you that you know that he has chosen to be in his bride, friends, that's what it means. You have to have that revelation, and no one can tell you that. Don't you dare base that on what someone tells you. Don't you dare go, well, Brother Jerry said I was elect. I'm sorry, Brother you can't go by that. Well, Brother Branham said I was elect. Friends, you have to know yourself. It has to come straight from God, because Brother Branham himself could not give you revelation. Only the Holy Spirit can give you revelation. So if your revelation is built on what someone else told you, well, Brother Phil says, I was born again. You better not take my word for it. You better know for sure where you're at, because if you don't, one day that wind is going to get too strong and it's going to blow you over. Second Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren. He said, I'm begging you, beseech you, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He says, I'm begging you by the gathering, how we know we're all in Christ, we're coming together in him. He said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Don't be troubled, don't be shaken, don't be stressed. Neither by spirit, oh my. How many times do spirits come and try to affect us in our mind, try to get us angry, a spirit of anger, a spirit of lust, a spirit of greed, a spirit of worry, and spirit of doubt, and all these spirits come and try to get us shaken in our mind and be troubled and stressed about something. He said, neither by spirit nor by word, Satan uses this word against you more than God gives you the word to use against him, because Satan's constantly pounding us with the word. That's his greatest, one of his greatest weapons, is take the scriptures, take the quotes, and prove to you that you are not born again. Prove to you that you're not elect. That's what he does. He said, don't be troubled by spirit or by word nor by letter as from us. Now, we're not going to get a letter from Paul telling this, but we're going to listen to people, and they're going to be telling us things that try to get us to off our foundation. We're going to have, there's a lot of false preachers around. You don't know that, right? There's a lot of false preachers around preaching some stuff that should not be being preached. And there's a lot of people using the word who were never called to handle the word. They're not in the ministry, and they're using that to get people shook up too. Paul's saying, don't be troubled by all this. Know where you're standing. He said, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Friends, that day of Christ is at hand. Be aware of that. And this, Paul wrote that thousands of years ago, or however many years. It's close to 2,000, I guess. But here we are at the very end time, and we can look around and we can see by the signs of the times that we are at right here where we're supposed to be at the very end time. We have a front row seat, friends, to watch Scripture being fulfilled. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Christian. Let me bring up a couple things. Have you noticed how much anti-Semitism is in the world today? You know, just number-wise, it's more than ever in the history of humanity, just because so many people are anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic, they hate the Jews. They want to see Israel eradicated. They have this chant, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And what they're saying is we need to eradicate Israel. They know it's going to be the death of all those thousands, because they'll go in there and totally wipe them out. And they're fine with that because they hate Israel. There's more anti-Semitism right now in the world than there was in Germany in the 1930s and 40s when they had the Holocaust. What is it, friends? All the world has to come against Israel. The whole world has to come against Jerusalem. We're going to be right there. Friends, right now we're like the one thing that's holding things back a little bit, because the United States is still back in Israel. But when we turn against them, everything's going to crumble. The rest of the people holding out will crumble too, because we are that one like beacon of like, hey, there's a strength. We're standing for them. That's coming, friends. I hope I'm not here to see that. God have mercy. But we're watching. That's prophesied in this old book that people think is not relevant today. And right now we're seeing that happening, exactly what this says. That's the left. What is the right doing? Do you see who just got elected to the Speaker of the House? Is his name Mike Johnson or something like that? Mike something. Maybe you haven't noticed it. They have a Speaker. By the way, the Speaker of the House, I think, is the third person in line for the presidency. If the president and vice president are they die, whatever, I'm not saying they're done. But then the Speaker of the House becomes president. This guy, they went several weeks without a Speaker of the House. And they tried to elect three different guys, and they couldn't get the election. They didn't get enough votes, and this guy got it. Do you know how blatantly Christian he is? He is the most godlike politician you can find. He wears his Christianity out on his sleeve. He's talking about it. He talks about the Christian values. He's doing all he can to promote Christianity and get us back to Christian values. And you say, well, why is that bad? Friends, that's the rising of the power of the beast, the image to the beast. That is exactly what it is. It's the Protestant churches taking power, and then we're going to turn around and give all that and force people to worship the beast. That's what's happening in our country. Do you not support them? I support what he stands for. I support protecting our kids from all this transgender horrible stuff and all the perversion that's going on. I support the things he stands for, but I also recognize that that is what is actually bringing in the image to the beast and the power, friends. That is going to be who forces the taking of the mark. That's the forcing of it, because the Protestant church, Brother Branham called it the World Council of Churches, they are going to control our government. And then at the right time, they turn that government, and we support Rome and the Catholic Church. And remember, that spirit in Rome is not the spirit of Christ. It's the same spirit that was in the Roman Empire. And it's iron spirit, and it crushes everything in front of it. And so it comes in with flatteries. It comes in like, oh, yeah, this is looking good. We got rid of abortion like we had it. We got all this, and we're going to have prayer in the schools. We're going to change everything. And it looks so good, but the spirit behind it is the most dangerous evil spirit. It's way more evil than what the left is doing. It's more evil than homosexuality and transgenderism, all that, because it's so deceptive. We're watching the right. We're watching that being fulfilled. The image of the beast taking control, just like the Bible tells us. We're watching the whole world turning against Israel, just like the Bible tells us. And here we are sitting here in the eye of the storm. And all around us is like being in a hurricane. And all around us is thunders and lightnings and raining and wind and just destroying everything. And we're sitting here in the eye of the storm watching it happen. What a time to be a Christian. Do you know your position? This is where we are positionally in time. But friends, we're not going to stay in the eye of the storm. No, it's going to come. It's going to turn. It's going to turn on us. The full force of that is going to come against us. Right now it is spiritually, friends. Right now Satan has so many demons coming against you. That's why we fight the battles we face. This is what's going on with all this struggle. Because what happens here, it's personally speaking, we have a flesh realm, we have a spirit realm, and there's a tornado. That's where our hurricane is going personally. And we got things going through our mind constantly, our bodies, all this stuff, the diseases and the pain and all the things that we face and all that's going on. And here we're sitting in the eye of the storm, friends, but we can still focus on the inner peace. And you're going to be just fine as long as you have the inner peace because you know where you stand. But if you don't know where you stand, sooner or later, that storm's going to hit you full force, friends, and it's going to be over. And like right now, we have so much freedom. We can still come to church. None of you are worried about where you're going to eat your next meal. None of you are worried about, can I come to church tonight? We have so much freedom, but friends, that is going to be ending. That's going to be done with. They're going to digitalize the money system pretty soon that you cannot buy or sell anything without being part of that digital system, friends. And then they're going to, if you don't take that mark, however that's going to look, you're going to be forced to do it. Of course, we know spiritually a lot of people already taken it, but there's going to be a forcing of it, friends. This is where we're at. We're so comfortable. We come to church. Who all is worried? Am I going to get another meal or not? Am I going to be able to feed my kids? We're not worried about that. There's plenty of people around, Christians around the world, who are literally being killed today just because they're Christians. But our world so far has not physically been that. But we are fighting the greatest battle because spiritually, Satan is doing all he can to soften us down, get us soft, so that when that does turn on us, what if Nate and I were talking about this. What if you got up this morning and said, am I going to go to church? Because I know if I go to church, there might be people there. There might be people there throwing rocks at me, doing whatever. They might kill me today. Would you still come to church? Is there a chance you get killed? Friends, I don't know how this, I'm not saying this is the way it's going to be. But I am saying that these things can turn in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden we're in the eye of a storm and there's no eye anymore. We're just in the midst of the wind. What if they determine that we are a cult and we need to shut down because we are racist, homophobic, patriarchal, whatever they want to say, and you know we're a cult, and you cannot raise your kids in that atmosphere, and the state comes and knocks on your door and say, we're going to take your children from you. How do you respond to that? Stuff like that is happening around the world, friends. They are taking California. I mean, it's the United States. They will take kids away from parents they don't think are decent parents for stuff like that. I heard Brother Donnie say something a couple weeks ago. You know, his daughter died, and I don't remember exactly how he said it, but I'm gonna, you know, in my own words how he said it. He said he was studying. I think a couple weeks before she died, he said Satan came to him in his study. He said, "If you'll compromise, I'll let your daughter go." He said, "I will not compromise." He lost his daughter here. That's faith. Are you willing to do that? If they come to take your kids, say, "We're going to take your kids. You and I are going to see them. We're going to put them in some foster home. And you're not going to see them anymore until we decide. Unless you compromise, you quit going to that church where that crazy man is preaching. Get out of that cult." Would you be able to do that? Friends, I'm telling you right now, you need to know where you stand. You need to know where you are at. You need to know that God is in control. How in the world would you deal with them taking your kids away? Will that happen? I have no idea, friends. I don't know. All I'm saying is this is the world we're living in, and those things, there's plenty of people in the world, if they could, they'd do that right now. We need to know where we're standing. The eye of the storm. So, Satan comes to you and said, he says, well, you better prove who you are then. He's trying all he can in this soft Laodicean age. He's trying all he can to get us to doubt who we are, to question, am I really this person? Am I really not? So he said, well, you got to prove it. Remember, he came to Jesus when he was in temptation. He said, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be, are you really him? Prove it. If you're really, you're hungry, if you're really the Son of God, you created all there is. And now you're hungry and there's rocks, there's stones. Why don't you make them into bread? Prove that you are who you say you are. If you are who you say you are, why don't you jump off the peak of this the temple here and watch the angels come and protect and lift you up, so protect you so you don't break a bone, because you can't break any bones. It's been prophesied. If you are who you say, trying to get Jesus, here's the thing, if Jesus would have had doubt, he might have went for that. He said, well, I'll prove it to you. When you have to prove something, it's because you have a doubt. You have to prove to someone else because you're worried about what they think about you. Well, you look, you say you're a Christian, look how you're acting. Look at how you're doing. Satan, it comes to you. If you're the bride of Christ, why did you just do that, what you did? Why did you talk to that person that way? You call yourself the bride of Christ, and look what you did this week. You think you're the bride of Christ, and look how little you pray. Look how little you listen to the sermon, how little the message. Look how little you read your Bible. If you're really the bride of Christ, if you are, if thou be the bride of Christ, prove it. Don't you ever, ever give in to that kind of junk. You have nothing to prove to the devil. The proof that you're going to have is when you disappear one day and he's still sitting there with his teeth in his mouth like, where did they go? He knows where you went because he knows this scripture. That's the proof that, friends, it's not something, and you can't give yourself a body change, so don't go and try. It's not our job to prove to Satan anything. It's our job to let the world see Christ shine through us, to be a light. That's what we're called to do, is let the light shine through us. And if someone sees that light and wants what we have, then there's an opportunity for them. If someone sees that light and they love darkness better than light, they're going to reject it and walk away. But all you have to do is shine the light. That's our job. If thou be the Son of God, why don't you come off the cross? You could heal others. You can't heal yourself. Why are you still sitting there? Why are you still hanging there? Why are you still suffering? Why are you still going through those trials? Why are you still struggling with this and struggling with that? If thou be a Son of God, if thou be the bride, how come God's not taking care of you? How come he's not meeting your needs the way you want them met? How come this is going on in your life? Why is this person sick? Why are you still suffering over here? If you are who you say you are, why is this all happening to you? If thou be the Son of God, I'm sorry, the bride of Christ, how come you have to suffer? How come some of you losing your minds? You've been sick. You've had kids and grandkids dying. You've had all this stuff you're going through. How would God treat his bride that way? If you're really the bride, why is this happening? Don't you listen to that liar. Don't you answer that question. You stand on the word and say, get behind me, Satan, you old liar. You can recognize it's just the devil. He's just bringing the same temptation against you that he brought against Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're going to have the same character that Jesus Christ had. You're going to stand on the same word. When Satan came against him and said, if thou be, all he said was he referred back to the word. And you referred back to the, I know what God told me, shut up. Oh, man, it brings me in my mind one of my favorite quotes. I'm saying it all the time anymore. Brother Branham says, well, Satan says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. You ain't going to do nothing. That's the way you talk to Satan. When Satan comes and says, I'm going to harass you, I'm going to give you a hard time, Satan, you ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to take your kids from you. You ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to put you in a wheelchair. I'm going to have you in a big wreck. I'm going to take away your home. I'm going to destroy your life. You ain't going to do nothing except what God allows you to do. And if God allows you to do that, then that's what I need to go in a rapture. So do your best. Don't you be afraid of what he can do to you. Don't you be afraid of what's going to happen. Don't you be afraid of, oh, God's going to allow this and God's going to allow that. Yes, he is, because living in this life is hard. How would you like to be a sinner out in the world going through this? Some of you know what I'm talking about. I tell you what, when you go through hardship, well, Satan says, well, you know, if you quit being a Christian, it wouldn't be so hard. Look at the people in the world. They are suffering, friends. Everyone is suffering. They're trying to find some kind of happiness. They're running to all kinds of addictions, trying to find something to satisfy. And here's the difference. When you suffer for Christ, he's not taking joy because you're suffering. In Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Talking about Jesus going to Calvary. It did not make God happy. Oh, I love it. Look at the pain. Oh, I love that. No, it was because he knew the effect that was going to have. And when you go through these trials and it pleases him that you go and suffer, because he knows that the effect it's going to have on a believer. You want to serve Satan? He puts you through something and he has joy in your pain. Ha! Let me see how much I can make you hurt. Who do you want to serve? That's where we're at, friends. This is the world we live in. All right. Now I'm ready to start preaching. That was just my foundation. Do about 30 more minutes, and I think I should be done if you can have patience with me. Position in Christ. Brother Branham said Ephesians parallels Joshua. In Joshua, Joshua took and he placed the children of Israel in their promised land. He gave them their position. Gad is over here. Ephraim is over here. Manasseh over here. Benjamin, or whatever it is, and they all had their place. And the way you got in there and got placed is because you were an Israelite. It was only for the Israelites. Friends, the only way you get placed in Christ is because you're a born-again, elected Christian. That's the only way you get placed. And so he was giving them their inheritance. And so our position in Christ is our inheritance. And that inheritance is everything God died for you, Christ died for you, to give to you as his bride. We have an amazing inheritance, but if we don't recognize it, if we don't claim it, because even after he gives it, you got to claim it. You got to stand there on that land and you fight the giants off of it. You had to fight the giants off of it after you're born again. I like there's a song, you might know it, one of the lines says, why should I worry if giants come calling my name? My God is greater than any difficult I face, any troubles I face. You ever had the giants come calling your name? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Brother Gene, I'm going to take your family out of church. Keep going. I could call every person's name and talk about the giants that come knocking at your door. Every one of us. The giants are going to get bigger. Nothing to fear, friends. If we are in our position, in our inheritance, we have all of heaven backing us up. All of heaven backing us up. So, Satan trying to shake us from our position, trying to get us to doubt that we really are who the Word says we are. It's not who I say I am, it's who the Word says I am. He's our vindication, not me. So Brother Brown's preaching out of the first book of in Ephesians, and we're going to read that, but after he's preaching it, he says something, and I want to focus on this right now, and then we're going to go and read through Ephesians, see what he's talking about. He says, now watch this master teacher, Paul. The first thing he does is knock out all the idea of falling away. Knock out all the idea of ever being a Christian today, and tomorrow I'm gone, the next day God condemned me, and the next day I'm back again. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Once you are sealed in, once you are anchored in Christ, you can't get out. You can't, because you recognize who you are and you're always going to be that. There's nothing you can do about it. You're stuck. He has placed you there, and he, like he said, all my Father has given me will come. I'm not going to lose a single one. Everyone who he has given to him, which is the elect, he's not going to lose a single one. So that's why Peter is saying, make sure that you're calling an election is sure. Make sure you know that you know. And you don't talk yourself into it. It's not some mind game you're playing up here. Please listen to this. It's not, oh, I know I am. Oh, I know I am. That ain't it, friends. You can always convince yourself of something, and then Satan can convince you of something else. It's not, oh, I believe it. I'm believing. I know. I claim it. I claim it. Friends, it's something that God told you. It's something that he said. He took you someplace, however it was. He said, I am claiming you. I have elected you. I have given you the new birth. And that is your proof right there that you are who God says you are. It's not you trying to talk yourself into it and find, oh, I just know I am. Just take God at his word, what he has revealed to you, and stand on that. You're not going to fall away. He says this book is not addressed to evangelical teaching. Evangelist sermons. I don't teach this on the field. I bring this to the church. For Paul addressed it to the saints, those who are called and preserved and filled and are set aside are in the Holy Spirit already in Canaan's land. He's trying to tell them the first thing, get it out of your mind, you're going to get lost. You're going to go to, he said, you're going to do this, you're going to be scared of that. Don't be scared of nothing. Don't be scared of nothing. For he's trying to tell you where you are, who you are, how you're standing. This is what the book of Ephesians is about, is placing the bride in Christ, recognizing in the word, recognizing that if you are there, you always were there, you can't get out. Let me give you an example. I'm going to be a little bit ridiculous here. I'm going to pick on Brother Gene. I like picking on Brother Gene. Brother Gene decides, you know what? I don't want to be a Berry Hill anymore. I want to be a Mast. So he goes down to the courthouse, and he gets his name changed to Gene Mast. He moves in with Paul and Susie. He says, Brother Paul, we are brothers now, blood brothers. And Paul says, No, I don't think we are, Brother Gene. See, yes, we are. Yes, we are. He goes and tells Brother Jerry, Brother Jerry, I am a Mast now. I changed my name. I'm starting to dress like Paul. I'm eating like Paul. I'm living with Paul. Brother Jerry says, no, Brother Gene, you're not a Mast. Yes, I am. I am too. He said, let's go down to the doctor. Let's get a blood test done. And they check your DNA. Oh, sorry, you're still a Berry Hill, Brother Gene. Satan will try to tell you you're this, you're that, whatever you are, and try to. And sometimes we actually start believing it. We do in our mind. Oh, I know. If I was born again, there's no way I could do this. If I was born again, I wouldn't be struggling with this. If I was born again, this wouldn't be happening. And we start listening to his lies, and we start saying, I don't know if I'm really born again or not. That's the same as Brother Gene saying, I might be a Mast after all. Go get a blood test. Go back to Calvary, see where you're standing. Go see what God has told you. See what's actually happened in your life. See your desires from your heart, how they changed. And don't you listen to that liar anymore. He said, now you might do things wrong. Listen to this. You might do things wrong, and every time you do anything wrong, you're going to get paid for it. Yes, sir, you'll reap what you sow. We make mistakes. He said, but that has not one thing to do with your salvation. Woo! Making mistakes has nothing to do with your salvation. Oh, my goodness. I wish I would have had that revelation about 30 years ago. And I knew that they said that, but it wasn't a revelation because I was still so bound by legalistic demons and religion that never sunk in until it was revealed to me that no matter once I'm sealed in, no matter what happens, if I make a mistake, has nothing to do with my salvation. I'm still sealed in. But then when that is revealed to you and you love God the way that creates such a love and that love inside of you, then you say, I don't want to do anything wrong because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit away from me because this is my comfort. This is my joy. This is my confidence in who I am walking in the presence of Jesus Christ. And then when I make a mistake, that brings me such a conviction and such a misery that goes with making mistakes. I don't want to do that. I'm not making a disgrace out of grace. I'm saying that I love God so much, I don't want to grieve him away from me. And then Satan comes, yeah, but you did this. You did this. You did it willfully. Well, of course. It's willfully does not mean you're making mistakes. Like it says, if you sin willfully after, that's from your soul where you decide, I don't want to be a Christian. I want to give up. I'm going to do this even though it's unbelief, and I choose unbelief over belief. That's what that's talking about. When you come to church and the word comes and you say amen, you accept it, brother and sister, that's all you ask from you. He will do the rest. Has not one thing to do with your salvation. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you got eternal life. You can no more die than God can die. You're a part of God. You're a son of God. There's nothing you can do, friends. You're already there. You are a part of God. You cannot die. I'm not talking about this old nasty flesh. I'm talking about that real you inside of you. It cannot die. Then what's there to worry about? He said, I'm still a Branham. I was born a Branham. Always will be a Branham. I may be disfigured someday, drawed with arthritis, have a wreck and all tore up till I look like an animal. I'm still a Branham. Branham blood inside me. Doesn't matter what's going on. Brother and sister, if you try to backslide, you try to walk out of here, and you try to you just give up, you get discouraged, I tell you what, you're either going to have some really hard times, or God's going to get a hold of you, turn you right back around, get you right back in here, but he's going to get you back in here. And if you refuse to go, he's going to take you from this earth because you're just a reproach to him. Yes, sir. And you cannot do that on your own. You cannot hold yourself with your mind. Your mind is not strong enough. Brother Branham got to that point, that great trial, when he was ready to, he said, I was ready to say, well, forget it then. If that's the way God's going to treat me, I'm not going to serve him anymore. And what came out of his mouth? Though you slay me, yet I'll trust you. Who brought me into this world? Who brought me here? Who did this? Who gave me that wife? Who gave me that kid? That's what happens when something's changed on the inside. You have great loss, and yet here you are. He said, that's what you are as long as God has made you. Now remember, I'm not talking to those outside of Christ. I'm talking to those that are in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You're baptized into the body by one Spirit. We're all baptized into the body. That's what he's talking about. So this is for people who are baptized into the body. I'm going to read out of Ephesians. Ephesians 1. I'm going to read a bunch of verses here if you want to turn to it. This is only for born-again Christians or those who are going to be born again. Because if you're not there yet, this doesn't apply to you, friends. He said, this is for the true, the bride of Christ. But if you're not there, you can get there, friends. You still have time. If you're elect, you will. Ephesians 1 and 3. Now, let's go back and revisit the thought of what do you have to do to prove you're a Christian? What do you have to do to make sure that your election is sure? What does God require you to do to be part of the bride of Christ? So we're going to read through this, and keep that in mind as we're reading through this. What is he asking you to do? Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. He has put us in Christ. We are in Christ. Once you're born again by the Spirit, you are in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So where are you positionally placed? You're in him. And when were you placed there? Before the foundation of the world. That's when you were placed there in the body of Christ. All we do there is we come, we had that birth, the new birth, but we're recognizing that we always were there. Brother Branham said, I recognize one day I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. I'm a son of God. And friends, you and I have to come to that point because Satan will use your family. One of the biggest things he uses our emotional realm is he'll use our family against us, could get us tore up because of our human love for our family. And he gets us ready to leave the message and do all this stuff and get all tore up about how our family is and how our family is treating us and how we're supposed to treat our family. You have to recognize that's your secondary family. Your first family is a body of Christ. Don't you allow your secondary family to have impact or influence your relationship with Christ. But they're my children. They're my parents. Of course they are. And God gives you so you will love them and so you feel that part of the family. But that whole family thing is so we recognize when God says you're part of my family, you can look around and recognize what he's talking about because you're part of a family here. If we didn't have families, we just lived by ourselves. He said, well, you're my family. I said, well, what are you talking about? But we do know what he's talking about because of the love we have our family. But don't allow that to interfere, your love for your human family. Don't let that interfere with your love for Christ. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So right away, he's chosen us to be sinless. He chose you. He ordained you to be sinless. He's chosen us in him. He done it. Don't be worrying about the mistakes you're making. Just fall in love with Jesus Christ a little more, and you're going to come to a point where I ain't worried about this anymore because I know my love for God is I'm overcoming because of that. Not because I'm trying so hard. Let me look at this thought of being chosen. I'm going to go over to John 15, just a couple of verses. John 15:15, he says, henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So what's he doing? He is positionally placing us in his relationship to him. He says, you're not a servant, you're my friend. And I tell you everything because friends tell each other everything. So he's positionally placing you in one aspect of his relationship with us. And then he says this. And I said, you're my friends. But said, you have not chosen me to be my friend, but I have chosen you. That just takes all the worry, all the fuss, everything out. If you recognize God chose you, that it wasn't you, you didn't decide one day, well, I want to be a Christian. Well, you did, but what the reason why is because he called you and he gave you the opportunity. He said, I'm choosing you to be one of my children, one of my friends, to be born again, part of the body of Christ. He chose us, friends. We did not choose him. And then he says, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. What is this fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the word for this day manifesting through us to be Christ in this day. And then he said that your fruit should remain. You're not going to fall away. You're not going to walk out of here and one day God just rejects you and kicks you out. He said your fruit, that life that you're living, is going to remain. It's going to grow. It's going to come to maturity. And one day it's going to take you out of here in a rapture. So quit worrying about whether or not you're going to fall away or not, because you can't. That fruit is going to remain. But I make mistakes. Well, praise the Lord. Make mistakes and quit your whining and worrying about it. Just claim the blood, claim deliverance, take it to God and have him set you free from that kind of stuff. Sometimes that's what the storms are for. You know, I talk about sometimes we're in the eye of the storm, we have the inner peace. But you know what? Sometimes that lightning strikes us. And you know what it does? It gets rid of some of that nasty old nature of ours. Sometimes it burns some of that old flesh away. Sometimes it gets us a place where we're ready to surrender a little bit more because we found out this world is just too uncomfortable for us. My own nature is too uncomfortable. I hate being influenced by it. And so I'm ready to lay it down. But as long as we still have little things here and little things there, it's because we're still too comfortable in our own nature. But when God gets a hold of you and you start getting to the place where I'm sick and tired of this old nature, then I'm willing to lay it down and he can burn that thing off of me. As long as I still like myself too much, and I like the way I handle things, and I want to handle things, I want to be this, and I want to be that, then God says, okay, keep a hold of that, but just look how miserable you're going to get. You got to get uncomfortable with those soul flesh, friends. You got to get to that point. You say, well, how do I get there? Just keep doing what you're doing. God will get you there, because it's not your job to get yourself to that point. You can't humble yourself enough. Look at Paul. Boy, he was so full of himself. He was so religious. He was living the law. And God had to knock him off his horse and blind him for a season. Yeah. God knows how to get you. You're his kids. Does your kid ever come up to you and say, Daddy, I want to tell you how to raise me. Daddy, I think this is what we should be doing here. This is how, when I have this attitude, I want you to deal with me this way. It don't really happen that way, friends. And it's not our job to go to God and say, God, I think this is what I need to go through. This is how I want to do this. This is how things are. Friends, it don't work that way. I was telling some friends recently, I said, God has never yet asked me what I wanted to preach. He never come to me and say, what do you want to preach today, Phil? How do you think, what do you think about this word? What do you think this means over here? He don't ever ask me. He never asked me my opinion. He gives the word, and we come and preach the word, and all we have to do is say amen to the word. There's no discussion. Well, I don't know if I believe it that way. Well, talk to God about it. He's the one who gave me what to preach. He's the one who gave Brother Jerry what to preach. It's like the sheep going to the shepherd and say, hey, I think we should eat over here today. Can we go eat over there? The shepherd says, I know what you need. It's not my job to tell the shepherd how to lead me. I'll get lost. I'll be out wandering around in the wolves and the brambles and everything else, friends. It's just humbling ourselves and let God have in his way. This is how he runs the church. Let's get back over here to Ephesians. Ephesians 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he predestinated, that means predetermined, that means he determined this is what you're going to be. And that adoption is your placing. When he places you in the body, that is you're being adopted spiritually into Christ. And that is what we all have to come to, is that place of adoption. So if you are not there, you will not have the confidence in the faith to stand there in the midst of a storm, because you don't know where you are. You don't know where you're supposed to be. You have to come to that. You have to come to that. We're going to talk about that maybe more Thursday night. We'll just keep going. But friends, that's where you get your confidence to stand where you're standing, because you know who you are. You know where you're standing. You know what you're supposed to be doing. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Have you noticed so far what he's asking you to do? Nothing. He has done it all. All of this is his doing. He predestinated. He chose us. He brought us to adoption. He's done all this stuff. He chose you before the foundation. This is all him, his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Brother and sister, when you recognize that he has revealed this, the mystery of his will, that we're hearing this morning, to recognize that we are placed here, it's the mystery of the will, that what his will is, that he would have a bride without spot or wrinkle, and you have been called to fulfill that word. When we see what they're doing to the anti-Semitism, we see what the false church is doing, but you are here to fulfill the word, to be a bride without spot or wrinkle, and we're seeing that happen also. When we see this happen in the world, we see that happen in the world, but we see we are being brought to a place fulfilling the scripture, that we have been brought to a place where we are sinless in his sight. Oh, recognize who you are, little bride. Recognize it and claim it and stand on it. He said that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. We're talking about a rapture in the fullness of time. If you're already going on, or if you're still on earth, brother and sister, you're going to get that body change, but he's going to gather us all together in one place. What a time that's going to be. Oh, my. In whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So far, brother and sister, he hasn't asked you to lift one finger. He has not said do this or do that or try anything. He said, I'm doing it. You are my bride. I'm taking care of you. Let me have control. Let me have control. I got you. I'm going to take care of this. I've done this all. I am placing you in my body. This is your placing, by the way, friends. This is who you are in Christ. And then he asks you to do something. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. That's the first thing he wants you to do. After he tells you he's going to do all this, he's doing all this, he says, now trust me. Quit your worrying. Quit your fretting. Quit your fear. Trust me, I promise I'm doing this. After that, you have heard the word of truth. You trust it after you heard the word. You heard it. This is what it is. Now, trust me that I'm not lying to you. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. All he wants you to do is trust him. If you trust him, you believe. If you believe, you trust. They go hand in hand, and it's all wrapped around with love. All he wants you to do is believe what he's telling you. Said, but I got to go out and work out my own salvation. You do. You know how you do it? By believing what he told you. How do you work that out? How do you do it? How are you supposed to make your election, your call and election sure? By believing what he says. All he wanted to do is a bride that will believe him. I'm going to run through this. I know that I've done this before. I'm going to do this again. I think it's so powerful to think about it. I'm going to pick on Brother Wayne this time and Sister Cindy because, you know, they got the new house out there and they're working on it. And so Sister Cindy's walking in and she says, hey, there's a leak in the roof. There's water all over the floor. She said, Wayne, you got to fix that. He said, I got this. We're going to fix that. She says, yeah, but what if it rains? It's going to get more water. Yeah, I know. We're going to take care of it. But it's leaking. There's a hole in the roof. Yeah, I know. We're going to take care of that. We're going to get it fixed. But when? When are you going to do this? Well, it's on our list. We got things to do. But when is it going to happen? When we get to it on our list. But what if it rains? Do you not believe me? Why do you keep questioning whether I'm going to do something I promised to do? I've already told you personally, I am going to handle this. I'm going to take care of this. Relax. Okay, I'll relax. I believe you. So they're in bed that night. Cindy's tossing and turning. When he says, honey, what is wrong? We have a hole in the roof. Huh? You told me you believe me? I do believe you. I do believe you. I'm trying to believe. Well, I'm going to fix it. I know, but when? I'm going to go sleep on the couch. Tell me that's not how we handle our situations. God tells us specifically. He brings it over the pulpit. He tells you in prayer. You're listening to the tape. You're reading the Bible, and God speaks to you. I got this. I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of this. And we're still tossing and turning. When is this going to happen? What about this? What about that? What if they take my kids? What if this happens? What? He said, trust me. After you heard the word of the truth, trust me. And he even said, in whom you also trusted. He already accused us of trusting him. We heard the word of truth, and he said, you trust in me, and you believe. You know why you trust and believe? Because you are ordained to it. You are chosen to trust. You are chosen to believe. And even though our own mind, because of all the damage and trauma that we've had in our mind, it just drives us crazy, something inside trusts and believes anyways. In spite of all the storm, something inside holds you rock solid. It says, I believe you. And even though my mind, I'm struggling up here with doubts and fears, inside there's something that holds me. That's what it means to be a believer. That's what it means to have inner peace. When everything is falling apart around us, but you have inner peace, something is holding me. Because he said you trusted. He said you believed. And then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We've been sealed, and that wraps it all up. Wraps it up. It's all taken care of, friends. We are going to make it. We are going to make it. I'm going to go ahead and quit. There's a little bit more, but we'll get to that later. Let's go ahead and stand. God bless you this morning, brother and sister. I just pray that the word spoke to you. It's not me. It's not something I came up with. This is what God put on my heart. This is something that God is doing in our life, in our midst. This is what God is the bride. Let me just be blunt for a second. If it's not happening in your life, it's still happening in the bride. It's happening somewhere. And if you're not seeing this happen in your life, friends, I don't know what to say. Surrender, do something, get a hold of God, get serious, whatever, but you can't do that on your own. It's got to be God bringing you to that place. But when you see it, friends, that's why the grace of God is so good. It's so amazing because we see what he's doing. He chose us. Look at all the different places we've come from. Look at everything we've gone through. And here we are. We're still going forward in the word for the day. He's chosen us in him. He's doing this work in our lives. Because he decided that I'm going to use you to fulfill my word in this last day. And here we are watching this old Bible that people have thrown away. Most Christians don't even believe this anymore. They just pick and choose what they want to believe out of here. They don't believe it's the infallible word of God. They don't believe it at all. And yet, it's happening. It's happening right here among us. That rapture, friends, like Nate was saying in the back room, that could just happen any moment because we see so much. A couple of things fall in place. All of a sudden we see those saints resurrected and they come walking through your front door and say, hey, daddy, hey, friend, whatever the situation. Can you imagine? Friends, that's also going to happen. If you believe there's a hell for sinners, you believe that Satan, you're going to miss the rapture. Friends, that is also just as true as there's a hell for sinners, there's a heaven, and you're going to be there with that. If you will be born again, if you will come to that point and recognize that, friend, it's only for the elect. You cannot make yourself elect. You cannot elect yourself. So if you see you are, then we look around and see other people aren't elect, and it just brings such a sense of sadness. We're not kicking them down. We're not kicking them in the teeth. So I look at you, a bunch of sinners out here. If that's your attitude, friends, get closer to God. You got to get closer to God, because most of these people, they're doing the best they can. Some of them aren't. Some of them have willingly walked away. It's a horrible place. How would you like to be in that position? Look at all the people. That's great falling away. There's something else we're seeing. Look at all the ministers. Look at all the people falling away from the message. And a lot of them aren't falling away as far as walking away. They're still in a message church, but they're just believing some false doctrines. Idolatry. How would you like to have to answer for them one day? It kills me. I got family like that. Pray for them, friends. Believe for them. Don't be influenced. But let them see the light. Let them see Christ in you. Give them that chance. If they don't see Christ in you, why would they want what you have? Is that all right? Live that life that they can see that there is a reality to this. Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful again, Father, that you would come and tell us who you are, who we are, Father. So many times your prophet is just trying to get us to recognize who we are. The word's coming to say, this is who we are. This is where we've been placed. This is what you have for the bride, Lord. And we're recognizing it happen around us. And Father, what a confidence, what a rest. We can just rest, as in Hebrews said, enter into that rest. And in the middle of the rest, we're sitting there, we have inner peace, but Lord, we're in the middle of a storm in our spirit realm. It's a storm in our flesh and the things around us. We're in this horrible storm. It's the more demons that have ever been loosed on earth is happening now, and we're the target, Lord. Satan's trying to destroy us with a soft living, with the easiness, and then he can turn around and just hit us with something hard and just try to blow us up, Lord. But Father, we're trusting you. We know that you are strengthening us. You are molding this character that we need. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful to see what you are doing, and we believe it, Lord. We trust you. We believe you. We love you, Lord. I pray now that you would come and just water the word, Lord, with the praise, with our praise, Lord Jesus. Come and just let your spirit come and just have its way among us. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for electing us to be your bride. We ask this.